For some of you this morning, I'm going to disappoint you, because if you were here last week, you will recall that we announced that we were going to have Mark Wollenberg from International Justice Mission here to speak with us, and we were going to celebrate Freedom Sunday together, but unfortunately, Mark had a heart attack last weekend, and so that obviously precluded him from coming here this morning, and we're trying to reschedule Mark when he feels better, because he actually is doing okay. So on Tuesday, I got in the office, had Paul in the office, and we were sitting down, and after I found out what had happened to Mark, and I said, well, I guess we got to figure out something for Sunday. So there's two things we got to do on Sunday. One of us has got to be the host. One of us has got to be the speaker. So we decided to settle it in the using the tried and true spiritual method of rock, paper, scissors. Guess who won? Paul did. No, I'm just kidding. We did not rock, paper, scissors who was going to preach. So that left me with going, okay, what do I preach on? I had IGM scheduled. And so as I prayed about it and as we shared with the staff what was going on, they encouraged me to think through maybe continuing a little bit about what we talked about last Sunday. It seems that last Sunday really struck a chord with a number of people here. And I don't know if it was maybe because you could relate to how I was feeling this summer and how just going through the summer, even though I got physical rest, I was feeling very thin, stretched. And as God showed me why, I realized that it was my soul that was needing of refreshment. My soul needed care. And at the end of the message last week, I basically ended the message telling you that your soul needs rest in order to be healthy. And we looked at Psalm 23, verse 3, and it's the verse that says, God's telling us that I will make you lie down in green pastures. And this idea that sometimes God makes us have rest. And this week during our staff meeting, I actually led our devotions and I shared with them a couple of verses that I had to cut from last week's message because we just didn't have time to look at them. And so they encouraged me actually to take those verses and share with them with you today. And so if you have your Bibles here this morning, I encourage you to open them to Matthew chapter 11. And we're going to be looking at verses 28 to 30 this morning. And really, these verses are all about helping us understand how to get rest for our souls. It's Jesus talking to his disciples, and he's telling them about rest. And it may not be what you think it is when you think about the word rest. And so this morning, I just want to spend a few moments talking about soul rest. And Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 says this. Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. These verses contain the key to finding rest for our soul, I think. Have you ever heard or do you understand the acronym TLC? Do you know what it stands for? Tender Loving Care. And we use it when we're talking about things that we find special or that they're important to us. And maybe they're not working the right way. So like, you know, if you have a piece of equipment, you might say, if you just show it a little TLC, which means you spend some time on it, you fix it, you maintain it, it'll work properly for you. Or it might be a relationship where you go, you know what, if you just have a little TLC with that relationship, it'll get back to where it was. In this case, in Jesus' economy, it's not TLC that he's telling us. He's telling us CTL. That's the secret for discovering rest, soul rest. CTL. You see, these verses contain three imperatives, three commands. The first one is come, the second one is take, and the third one is learn. And that's what I want to spend some time this morning looking at. The three things that Jesus tells us, if we do them, we will actually find rest for our soul. Come, take, learn. CTL. When Jesus says, come to me, what is he saying? He gives us a little descriptor for those who are supposed to come to him. It's all you who are weary and burdened. The word weariness really implies just a, kind of a physical aspect where we're tired. Every one of us here has experienced weariness. You know, after a long day of work, you get home and you're what? You're weary. If you go on a long journey, a long trip, after traveling for hours, you get to your destination and you're what? You're weary. We all understand what it means to be weary. It means that we have no energy left, no strength left. We're just exhausted by our life. We're just exhausted by what we came through. And so Jesus says, if you're weary, come to me. And so that's something we can grab onto. That's something I think each one of us can relate to. But what about the second piece? The second descriptor. Those of you who are burdened, come to me and I will give you rest. Burdens are something that we carry, that we pack around, that are heavy. And just like weariness, I think burdens are universal for you and I. You see, in Jesus' day, and he'll get to this a few chapters later in chapter 23, he'll talk about how the religious leaders of the day didn't make it easier for people to follow God. They, in fact, made it harder. The rules that they put in place to be a good Jew, all they did was pile burden upon burden again on people, and people found it impossible to come to God if they were just living out what the religious leaders told them to live out. In fact, Jesus says they don't even lift a finger to help you. And here's Jesus saying, come to me, you who are weary, you who are burdened, and I will give you rest. So what are you burdened with this morning? We all made our way here from our houses, probably. And we walked in these front doors, sat down in a chair, maybe not even thinking about what our burden is, just glad to sit down and take a load off our feet. What is your burden this morning? For some of you, maybe it's guilt. Maybe you are carrying some guilt of a past action, something you've done. Maybe no one knows about it. Or maybe a few people know about it. Or maybe it was so long ago in your past that you are pretty good at burying it, for the most part. But every once in a while, it comes springing up back to mind, you start reliving it, and you start having guilt all over again, and it's a burden that weighs you down. Maybe for some of you, you've gone to counseling and tried to deal with the burden, not realizing that it's the burden that is causing your weariness in life, thinking it's other things. For others of you, maybe it's hurt. Erwin McManus, in his book, Soul Cravings, tells us that hurt is often a burden we carry. Something done to us by someone else that is not resolved. And in it, he says, if we're not careful, that hurt can grow and allow our soul to become toxic. If we don't deal with the hurt, it actually impacts our soul. He goes on to talk about that one of the things that causes the toxicity in our soul that results from hurt is bitterness. And if we're not careful, if we don't deal with the bitterness, it actually starts to make us blind to what we're actually going through. Bitterness stops us from seeing what's actually going on in our life. And oftentimes that bitterness, if left unchecked, will slip into skepticism, which then turns into cynicism, which then at the end of the road turns into an emptiness of the soul. Have you ever met a person who is cynical? Generally, they're not the type of person you would describe as having a healthy soul, are they? But oftentimes, the hurt in our life, the burden of the hurt, if not dealt with, will get us all the way to the end where we are a soul that is toxic. And we don't even realize how we got there sometimes. What is your burden? What is your weariness today? What did you bring in with you this morning that God is saying, come to me and I will give you rest from that? You see, our culture, the way we deal with burdens, the way we deal with weariness is to escape, isn't it? So we try and escape the burden we're carrying, and we do that through medicating ourselves by alcohol or maybe pot or pornography or spending hours and hours watching TV or playing video games or on Instagram and Facebook or watching YouTube. Hours go by. And we don't even realize the time has gone by, but what we're really doing is just medicating ourselves, trying to escape the burdens that we're carrying that we don't want to deal with. And Jesus says, come. You who are burdened and are weary, and I will give you rest. You see, when we're weary and burdened, we often become numb to the things around us, because we are so weighed down. But we have a problem. And that problem is that God views our souls as the most important thing about us. In fact, God views everyone's soul as something of value. And no matter what we've done in our life, no matter what burden we're carrying, whether it's guilt or other things, whatever that is, no matter what it is, God views our soul as being so worth his time and his energy that he will not leave you alone. He views every soul as something of worth. No matter what you've done to make it toxic, no matter what you've done to empty it, he still views you as valuable. Let me just remind you of, when I'm using the word soul, what I mean, and I'm stealing this from Dallas Willard. We talked about this last week. Dallas Willard gives us this image of concentric circles, and in the middle circle is the word mind. It's our mind. It's where our choices are made, our intentions. The Bible often uses the word heart for the word mind, sometimes the word spirit. So mind, heart, will is the middle. I said mind, I meant to say will. Will, heart, or spirit, often interchangeably. And then you have the mind, where our thoughts and our feelings and our values are expressed and come out. And then you have the body, which is our physical body, where our will and our mind come together and they're actually played out in real life. And all three of those things make us up, but there's another circle. It's the soul. And it's a combination of all those things together. And as we learned last week, your soul will only be at rest when all three of those things, your will, your mind, and your body, are aligned with God's purpose for you. When your will is out of alignment with what God wants for you, or your mind is out of alignment for how God wants you to think and think about things, or if your body is out of alignment in terms of its sin, your soul will be out of alignment with God. And you won't have rest, the rest that God wants you to have. So Jesus says this command, come. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. What does it mean? What is Jesus saying when he says, come? What does he mean there? I think there's three implications, or Jesus is implying three things when he says the word come. The first is this: you cannot come to Jesus unless you get to the place in your life where you want God to be the God of your life. Jesus gives you the invitation, but we will never accept Jesus' invitation to come to him until we get to the place where we say, okay, God, you are the God of my life. And if we were really honest this morning, I think that we would admit that most of the time in our life, we don't really want all of God. What we really want is just enough of God to take care of the burden and the weariness in our life. And if we could get just enough of God to deal with that, then we could get on with our life and do what we want. But when Jesus says, come to me, what he is saying is, in order to do that, you got to make God the God of your life. You have to have everything centered on him. But God being God is something our human pride really struggles with, because we want to be God. We want to make choices in our life. We want to set the direction of our life. We want to determine what is right or wrong. We don't want God to tell us what is right or wrong. But when Jesus says, come to me, part of that invitation is coming to the place where we say, okay, God, I want God to be the God of my life. But there's another thing that I think is implied in when Jesus says, come to me, in order for us to find rest. And that implication is this, that our hearts need to be hearts that are ready to repent of our sin. You know, one of the things I hate about preaching is Saturday nights. Because Saturday nights, when I'm preaching on Sundays, I'm at home working on the message. And part of my rhythm of working on the message is I have to do one thing to get ready before I'm ready to stand up here to speak to you. Because I take this role seriously. And part of taking that seriously is I understand that if I am not right before God, and I am trying to tell you how to be right before God, that message may not get to you. Now, I'm not saying the Holy Spirit can't use a sin-filled person, because I am a sinner and God uses me in that way, but there is this aspect of if I'm not right before God, then the message may not come out as it should. And on Saturday nights, when I'm getting ready to, you know, I've done a lot of work on the message, but I'm trying to put it all together and make sure it's all good, I pray and I say, okay, God, I have to be right with you. And there are days when some Saturday nights when I'm sitting there praying and it's easy. I go, okay, God, I don't think I did anything really bad today or this week that I can come. And it's like that general, just make sure everything's good in case I forgot something, God. And, you know, that's a fairly easy prayer to pray. But then there are those nights when I'm sitting there and the Holy Spirit is poking me going, you need to deal with this because you did this today or you said that today and you haven't dealt with that sin. And there are moments when I say, I don't want to, God. I'm not ready to repent of that quite yet. You see, we do not like to repent. Okay, maybe you're different than me. But when Jesus says, come to me to find rest, not only is he saying you got to make God the God of your life, he's also saying that you need to repent of your sin before God. We hear a lot of talk about brokenness in our world, and even in the Christian circles, we hear this term brokenness thrown around a lot. And if you really listen to it, the way it's used today is not the same way it's used in Scripture, really. Because the way it's used today, oftentimes, when people say they're experiencing brokenness, what they're really saying is they experience some sort of hurt. And that they're on the receiving end of it. Which I'm not discounting. That happens and that can cause us brokenness. But when you look at it from a biblical perspective, when we're talking about brokenness, it's talking about dealing with your own sin before God. And we need to come to the place where we acknowledge that brokenness between us and God. And it's because of what we've done. And we need to own that. We will never be able to come to Jesus and accept his rest if we are not at a place where we're ready to repent of the things in our life that we need to repent of. But I think there's one other thing that Jesus is talking about when he's talking about come to me. He's also saying that you need to be at a place where you're ready to deny yourself. A very scriptural lesson that Jesus talks a lot about in the Gospels, where he's encouraging his disciples, if you're going to come to me, if you're going to follow me, one of the things you have to do is be ready to deny yourself and pick up your cross and follow me. I mean, we just sang some great songs. Did you mean what you sang earlier? I mean, the song just before I got up said this, more of Jesus means what? Less of me. You just sang it. Do you actually believe that? That's what it means when Jesus says, come to me and I will give you rest. Part of that coming, that process of coming to Jesus is being willing to deny ourselves and do what Jesus asks us to do. Here's the reality. You will never find rest for your soul if you draw near to God with your lips, but your heart is far from him. In many ways, I think we struggle with what the Old Testament Jewish people struggled with, where they would come and do the sacrifices and they would come and do the festival celebrations, and yet God was not pleased with them because all they were doing was praising him with their lips, but their hearts were far from him. When Jesus says, come and I will give you rest, the only way we get rest for our souls is when we understand that God is to be the God of our life, that we need to repent of the things that keep us, that are sin from God, and we need to be willing to deny ourselves and do what Jesus asks us to do. You see, when you live a life of half-hearted devotion to Jesus, your soul will always feel strained. It will. But Jesus doesn't just stop with come. He gives this invitation. And then he says another thing. He says, take my yoke. We are living in a generation today that has no idea what that means. And I'm not talking about the inside of an egg, in case you were wondering. A yoke was an instrument used on the farm. A yoke was an instrument used in a day before tractors. And it was a piece of wood that allowed two animals to be put together. And I've got a picture of it, just to give you an image, where the heads of two oxen or two cows would be put together, and then it would be attached to a plow or a cart. And these two animals would be able to walk and pull this, whatever they had to pull. And the idea was that as part of this, it was easier to do when you had two animals pulling the load than it was with one. Here's what makes no sense when you read this passage. When you and I think of the term rest, what comes to mind? For some of you, on Sunday, it's three other initials. It's not CTL, it's NFL. That might mean rest for you. But for most of us, it means sitting down, putting our feet up, maybe, you know, by the beach or at home in our favorite chair. What it doesn't mean is work. No one thinks rest and work mean the same thing. But here comes Jesus saying, if you want rest for your soul, put on my yoke. You know what yoke represents? It represents work. You only put a yoke on if you've got work to do. Like the cows didn't run around the farm with yokes on unless they had something to do, a job. And here's Jesus saying, look, if you want rest, take my yoke. Like that makes no sense to us, does it? Unless we understand a few things about yoke. And we understand what Jesus is really trying to say here. You see, when a farmer had a young oxen who needed to be trained on how to pull the plow or how to work with a yoke, what he would do is he would take one of the older oxen who was well-versed in knowing what to do, and he would pair the older one with the younger one. And in that, he was hoping to train the younger one how to pull the load, how to work well. And it would work if the young oxen did one thing. If the young oxen let the older oxen lead. See, all the young oxen had to do was walk beside the older oxen and follow whatever the older oxen had to do in terms of direction, in terms of pace. Because if they were plowing the field, the oxen would know, the older oxen would understand that you needed a straight line and had done it so many times that they would be able to do that. And the older oxen would know the pace you needed to go in order to be able to work a full day and not end the day exhausted. A young oxen, if they decided that they wanted to do the things their own way, would try and take control and direct the older oxen wherever they wanted to go, and they would often go faster than they needed to, so that by the end of the day, they would be fighting against the older oxen, and they'd be exhausted. And that's the picture Jesus is giving to us here with this yoke analogy. He's saying, take my yoke, because you're already wearing a yoke. You might be wearing the yoke of religion this morning, where in your mind, you've got to work to earn God's approval in order to get into heaven. And there's a whole bunch of list of rules that you've got to do, get your ducks in a row, and then you'll be acceptable to God. You got that on. Or maybe your yoke is perfectionism. You got to love your life perfect so that everyone can look at you and think everything's well in your life. You can be the perfect parent. You got to train your kids to grow up well, and when they mess up, you'll be disappointed, but you got to wear that yoke of perfectionism. Or maybe for some of you, you're wearing a yoke of performance, or you're wearing a yoke of guilt, or you're wearing a yoke of sin, a yoke of bitterness. Whatever it is, we already have a yoke on, and Jesus says, come to me and take my yoke, and I give it to you. And the whole idea is this yoke that Jesus is giving us is the perfect yoke. It's the yoke that fits us. But even more than that, it is this picture of Jesus wanting us to walk beside him and just keep pace with him. Walk beside him and go in the direction he is leading us. And walk beside him and understand that he is carrying our load. We don't have to bear it by ourselves. He is there to carry the load as well. So when he says, take my yoke, he is giving you an easier option of living. He is giving you this option that actually allows you to live life and your soul to find rest. Listen to what Doug Webster from his book, The Easy Yoke, says. Apart from the grace of Christ and the saving work of the cross, it would be impossible to convince people that the easy yoke is doable, let alone easy. But for those who live under this yoke, there is absolutely no other way to live. Who in their right mind would go back to the gods of self, money, lust, or power? Who would return on bended knee to the shrines of pious performance or even judgmentalism? Is not love better than hate? Purity better than lust? Reconciliation better than retaliation? And is not better really easier when measured in character rather than convenience? Rest for the soul rather than selfish pride. That's what Jesus means when he says, take my yoke. Come to me, take my yoke. And then Jesus says, learn from me. Learn. Learn from me. What is Jesus saying there? What I think he's saying there is that we are to look at Jesus and take from his example how to actually live life. You see, the yoke analogy really is a metaphor for discipleship. In discipleship, what we are trying to do is become more and more like Jesus every day. And Jesus is telling us the secret to becoming more and more like him is to take his yoke and then learn from him. When you study Jesus' life, you discover that he has a rhythm that he follows in his life. And that rhythm was passed on to the early church. I love how the Message translates verse 29 here. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. Isn't that an awesome word picture to describe what our life can be? The unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. You see, Jesus had a rhythm to life. He passed that on to the disciples. And the early church had that rhythm. And next week, we're going to look at that rhythm of discipleship, that rhythm of living, that rhythm of grace in many ways. Because it's something that we want to just kind of implement at Southridge. And it's a call to follow Jesus, to be his disciples, to take his yoke. Jesus comes to us today. He says, all you who are weary, all you who are burdened. In my gut, I think that includes everyone here this morning. And he says, come to me. Come to me. Make God the God of your life. Come to me. Repent of the things that are holding you back. Repent of the sin that you need to confess. Come to me. Be willing to deny yourself. Take his yoke. Replace it with whatever else you're carrying around your neck. Take Jesus' yoke and learn from him. This is what I know this morning. I did not plan to preach this. Soul rest was not supposed to be the topic of today. But apparently God wanted you to hear this morning. So much so that a guy had to have a heart attack in order for it to happen. What is God saying to you this morning? For some of you, he is giving you the invitation, and maybe you've heard it before and you've never been willing to take it. And this morning's the morning you need to accept his invitation to come to him. And you realize you need to come to a place where you make God the God of your life, make God the center of your life. It's not enough to want a little bit of God. You have to take it all. And you have to confess your sin and make yourself right before God. And then you have to be willing to take his yoke, a yoke that is easy when he's walking beside you. You see, the thing is, God never promises us that even though we have his yoke on, that the ground we're tilling will be comfortable and easy. He doesn't say you get nice fertile ground to plow. Sometimes you might, sometimes you won't. He doesn't even say that you get to do it on nice level ground. Sometimes it's uphill both ways. But what he does promise is this: he will always be beside you, carrying it with you, if you take his yoke. I'm going to pray this morning, and for some of you, for those of you this morning who need to accept Jesus' invitation to come to him, there will be a moment in the prayer where I just ask that you pray with me. For others of you, you're here this morning, you're weary, or you're carrying something that you have no business carrying. I would encourage you during the last little bit of our service to find one of our prayer team members and have them pray for you. There is no reason why you have to leave this place feeling weary or burdened. Let Jesus take it from you and let us help you in that. So, worship team, you guys can come and I'm going to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this morning. Lord, we thank you that you love us so much, that you are so invested in making sure that our souls are right with you, that you will stop at nothing to get our attention. And so, Lord, I pray this morning that as we've been listening to your Spirit speak to our hearts, that we would be willing to be obedient to what your Spirit has to say to us. Lord, for those who are hearing you for the first time, say, come. Lord, help them to have the courage and strength to accept that invitation. Lord, may they just pray this simple prayer. Dear Jesus, I hear you, and I accept your invitation to come to you. Jesus, I make you the center of my life. There is no one more important than you. Jesus, forgive me of my sins. I am truly repentant of what I've done. Jesus, thank you for dying for me. Thank you for raising from the dead and showing that I could have life. thank you for giving me your yoke. Now help me to wear it as you would want me to wear it. Lord, for others who are here this morning, I just pray those who are so weary, they don't even know how they got here, those who are so burdened and have been carrying that burden for so long. Lord, may your Spirit just say to them, give it to Jesus. Help them to have the strength and courage to get over their pride and give it to you. Lord, if they need help, if they need prayer of someone else to do that, give them the courage to stand and walk to the back and seek that help that they need. Because, Lord, I know that you don't want us leaving here weary and burdened. You've come to give us rest. May we have rest for our souls. In Jesus' name.